Welcome back to the Blessed Business Podcast, where we empower Christian business leaders to launch and grow blessed businesses so together we can advance the kingdom of God. If you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast and check out the online courses and resources at www.theblessedbusiness.com. That's www.theblessedbusiness.com. And if you're looking for ways to increase your income, check out the Income Accelerator course now available at theblessedbusiness.com/income. Now let's dive into today's episode. Welcome back. We are excited to have you tuning back into the Blessed Business Podcast. I'm your host, Hunter Haley. Again, with me is Tony Pimpo. And I think we can put to rest all the questions we had the last couple times about having his wisdom teeth taken out. Is he getting anything left? I think solidly.
We're two weeks in. Yeah. The judgment has come back favorably.
Yes. Yeah. He's a keeper, right? And so we're glad to have that resolved.
Glad, yeah.
Man, we were worried there for a second. But today we have a good topic to cover, and so we're going to need all that wisdom to be brought to the surface and, like, just let's throw it at the audience. Let's do this, Tony?
Let's do it. We'll see you by the end.
Okay.
Let them be the judge this time.
All right, here we go. We're out of the trial run, but you got to keep it going. So here we go. Today we're going to be having a discussion around the topic of your niche. Or is it niche or niche? That's question number one.
Well, I mean, I've heard it both ways. I think for this, for our purposes here, because we have a really cool quote we're going to use, we're going to go with niche.
Niche, that's right. Yeah, I like that. Technically, it may be your niche versus your niche, but
I looked it up, and I think you can do.
You can do either way.
For sure, you can do niche, which is what I made sure before we started saying.
Okay,
it,
so. Because yeah, that's see, this is why he's here, folks. Did I look that up? No. Was I planning on just rolling with it? Yes. Mm-hmm. Tony is the man. That's awesome.
See, that's just my niche, I guess.
That's right. Everyone needs a good niche.
Niche or niche? Let us know in the comments.
Yes, definitely. Which do you use, or do you roll your eyes if someone says it the other way, right?
There we go.
And but anyway, so identify your niche. That's what we're going with for today. And so this is important because if you try to be everything to everyone, you'll end up being nothing to no one. Right. And this has been said a number of times. I'm not quite sure who originated that quote, but it really stands that if you just, another one is if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. Right.
Right.
And so when it comes to business or career, defining your target audience, all these type of things, if you're going to be successful, you've got to be targeted. And if you don't know what your core expertise is, if you don't know what your niche is, it's going to be very difficult to be successful unless you're a shotgun manufacturer, right?
Yeah.
Because their plan is to be scattered, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone else, it's time to be focused. And so...
Well, especially because the market is so saturated, right?
I mean,
there are so many companies out there vying for our attention. And if, customers are being bombarded with different messages, you want to really be able to know what your niche is so that you can tailor your messaging to your target audience.
Yes.
Right? Because there will be a audience for something that's specific, and you'll be able to own that part of the market, own air quotes, but you know what I mean? Because you're targeting a specific audience. Your message is bringing to you the customers that you're looking for.
Well, even if you think about like Googling something, if you try to be super broad and be like the number one search result on Google for, something super broad, right? Mm-hmm. It's very challenging. Best HVAC service provider in, the Mid-South, right? That's extremely competitive. Okay. Mm-hmm. But if you target your hyper localized market, like we're in, the Memphis metro area, and you want to then optimize for being, the best HVAC, service provider in XYZ small town USA, right? That's much easier. And the reality is for most businesses, unless you are competing at that regional or national level, it's actually better to focus in on who you're trying to target from a marketing standpoint, from a messaging standpoint, those type things.
Yes.
And really identifying those type things and going after it is where you really own it. So if someone understands intuitively, okay, I can't be everything to everyone, so I need to be able to focus in on what I need to do. What is the path? How does it start when it comes to identifying your niche? Because that's what we're focusing on. Is not that the importance of a niche. I mean, we define that. What's your niche or your niche, however you want to say it, is kind of your singular focus. Mm-hmm. It's your narrowed down target market, if I could put it that way.
Right.
And so how does someone start identifying what their niche is, Tony?
I think you have to get to the heart of it, right? The foundation would be understanding your own strengths.
Yes.
And your own interests. And it is said that your niche often lies at the intersection of what you love and what you do well.
Mm,
have you seen those? I think they're called the Venn diagrams, mm-hmm. basically where things overlap. And so you want it to be where what you're doing is something that you love and you do well, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you don't love it, it's going to get old really fast, right? And there's going to be parts of it that you're not going to love. But, you know, overall, or you might love it, but you don't do it well, right? So those are the things you want to stay away from. And I think if you could find something that you really do enjoy and that you really are well at, you do well at, that you can start to narrow things down from there, right? Mm, and this would be really good for somebody, for instance, who's looking to start something new.
Yes.
Right? Going down to that as the core. But it's also something that can help you refine your business once you're already in it.
Yes.
Because you may have added things over the years or tried to get into new markets that maybe.
You tried a lot of different things and you're like, we've tried these five or six different things, but, you know, we really are passionate about this one particular area.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or this one particular area drives our profitability, but we've been doing these 10 other things. That you know that we really only are just responsible for maybe 5 or 10% of our overall revenue and profitability. Why are we focused on that? Let's get back to what we're passionate at and what our strengths are, mm-hmm. because there is this kind of scope creep that happens, especially beginning entrepreneurs or new businesses. I mean, I've experienced this a bunch of times. When I started my marketing and web design business years ago, I tried to be all things to all people,
and there are so many needs out there, right?
Oh, yeah.
So there's limitless needs that you could fill.
Yes. And I thought I had to do all those things. But then I started realizing, hey, I'm really, my best expertise is doing web design and creating messaging around that and getting people online in a way that is functional, both from a technical sense, but aesthetically pleasing from a design standpoint, but also actionable from a marketing standpoint of like, hey, it actually drives sales. And so that became my focus. Now, I wasn't the best at SEO. I had an understanding of it. I built this website where it was, you know, fairly SEO friendly, but I wasn't their SEO guy per se. Mm-hmm. I started outsourcing that, or I wasn't their blog content writer. I started outsourcing that.
Yeah.
Right. And so I wasn't their logo designer, right?
You found people that were strong in those areas.
Yes.
And they are specialists. So it's like direct your customers to them.
Yes.
And you focus on what you do best and deliver the most value.
And the overall outcome was so much better. But I had to identify strengths and passions. And you have to redo this assessment
all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. On a regular basis, because I had a meeting with a team member and we were going over some things, and I was like, hey, I want to apologize. I have gotten too broad, too distracted. And I literally said, I'm running around with a shotgun, you know, bang, 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 and just scattering stuff everywhere. And I said, I need to get more personally, as the leader of the company, I've got to get more honed in on what my area of expertise is and how I can start driving things forward, because I've been in visionary mode, which is my passion and my strength in a lot of ways. But I also have to rein that in and narrow the focus so that that visionary direction is set in a way that they can act on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. And that's something, like you said, you constantly have to take a look at where you're at, because it's something that you have to evaluate, because where you're at now is not where you were a year ago or 2 years ago or 3 years ago or whenever you started your business, right? So it's constantly...
It has evolved tremendously, even in the last 6 months or a year.
Right.
It has changed and changed and changed, and it's good change. We were talking about, I mean, like, we've invested heavily in all the things that are going to generate growth, which is a big focus of mine right now, and I'm working on a course on business growth. But in order for that growth to take effect, you at some point have to narrow it back down and say, okay, what is my focus? What is my niche? What am I going to actually target to move forward on from a business standpoint and other areas? And, you know, this is kind of relates to the Bible in Proverbs. It says, a man's gift makes room for him, and it brings him before the great, is the ESV version of that. But the point is, God puts giftings and talents inside of you. And you need to operate inside of those. Find out what your core competency is, what your core expertise is.
Yes.
And operate in it. If you're looking for a career, if you're looking for direction for your business, the type of customers you're going to serve, then that is how you find it, is you have to identify how you best can serve people.
Mm-hmm.
But then kind of the next point would be what, Tony? Once you've identified your strengths and passions and how you can serve people, then what's the next logical step?
The next one would be to define your ideal client.
Who you're going to serve, right?
Who you're
going to
serve. So
if you've identified how you can serve, what's your niche, right? How you can serve, then who are you going to serve this? Who is going to best appreciate what you're doing?
Yeah, and one of the best ways to look at that is you yourself. Would you appreciate the service that you're offering, right? If the answer is yes, well, you have some of your client profile right there.
Yes.
But also, just aspirationally, as you grow your business, what market do you want to be in, right? Mm-hmm. And you might have a ideal client profile at different stages of your business, right?
It can change.
Entry level, mid-level, long-term, whatever. Actually, even at the company I've worked with, we have something called the ICP, which is the ideal client profile. Mm. And it does help us to identify the businesses that we want to work with. It used to be we took everything that came to us, every, you know, business that came to us that was interested in working with us, right? But we found out that, for instance, the small businesses, at least in our industry, what we worked with, they were so much less willing to pay for our services versus the larger businesses. That's because those that were higher up in the market knew the cost of doing business. They were willing to pay for services that met their quality expectations. So we realized, okay, we could close these deals and technically be getting business, but these aren't the customers we want to work with.
Yeah.
So we identified, and we actually put some key metrics to it, like, you know, the size of the company as far as revenue, the software platforms that they worked with, just a few other key identifiers. But that's one of the ways you can do it from a business perspective. These are the businesses we work, we want to work with. In our industry, it's like business to business.
Yeah.
But like, for instance, in most businesses, it's going to be a customer, a person.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Your customer profile. Yeah.
Create a persona, right? Of like, what's this ideal person's name? Right. What income do they make? Where do they live? You know, what do they spend every year on your industry that you're in, right? If it's food or if it's whatever it is, you know.
We were talking about this a little bit for our real estate company the other day, and I was working through this. You know, we have the recreational buyer who wants to buy a recreational property.
Yeah.
And this is good old Jim Bob who's looking for, that sounds very, but like, you know, this is a good old country boy who's like looking for a place to go hunt and fish. Right.
Yep.
And he loves the outdoors. He wants to get his four wheeler muddy, you know, like that's his persona. He's probably wearing camo, you know, probably works at the Milwaukee plant and just is a good down to earth, outdoorsman, mm-hmm. loves the outdoor life, right?
Yeah.
And so what is Jim, what does his profile look like?
Right.
Whereas we have completely opposite profile of someone who's not looking, and Jim is probably looking for 20 acres plus, mm-hmm. right? Maybe 50 or 100 acres, right? Somewhere that's adjoining the National Forest, or, you know, there's different profiles. Whereas someone else may be looking for 2 to 3 acres and they want to build a house and live yeah. there with their family, or put a mobile home on it and live there
or
with their family.
Or a city dweller who wants to have a place just to go on the weekend, or they yes. want to go when they have time off at work, right? Well, that yes. might be a totally different customer than Jim.
So I did an ad last week where I shot an entire video. It was Memorial Day weekend yeah, or whatever it yeah. was. And the whole point was, hey, we can sell you. And it was, and I literally targeted people in metropolitan areas, mm-hmm. city areas. Hey, we can sell you an outdoor, like a recreational type property, and close it before the weekend's over. Because yeah. like people are sitting around like, man, I'm a city person and I want to do something other than do city things for yep. this long weekend. What am I going to do?
I want to go and unplug.
I want to go unplug. I want to, yeah.
Do whatever.
And so that's a totally different buyer. And like the ad I did emphasized, I was riding a side by side. I was doing all these, like, here's the fun things you can do with property. Mm-hmm. That's totally different than the person who's buying it to build a house on.
Right.
Or to start a homestead, or to
hunting land
or whatever. Right. It's totally different, you know?
Yeah.
And so you have to identify, and you may have 2 or 3, you may have 5 or 10 different profiles of your ideal client, but you need to keep those fairly narrow. If you have 100 profiles, that's too wide.
Right. Cause you're not going to be able to tailor your marketing to 100 different yes. customer profiles.
It's hard enough for us. And we've got like 3 to 5 core profiles. And then there's, you know, different stratas of that, or, you know, yeah. different layers, but 3 to 5 core markets that we really serve. But I've noticed that the market kind of shifts between them too, depending on how the economy's doing.
Yes. And so we've talked about that.
And so identifying your ideal customer. And so if the market does change, you may be like, okay, now we're leaning more into cash buyers who are doing investment. Or, hey, you know, hunting is really popular right now and money's flowing. Now it's more recreational. Yeah. Now, you know, the economy's tough and people are downsizing. They're looking for someone to own or finance and put a mobile home, right? Mm-hmm. You know, or something like that.
And maybe when the economy is doing well, there's a certain segment of the population mm-hmm. you're not going to reach the same. But mm-hmm. then when there's some economic difficulties, some of the people in the higher brackets, now they're starting to look at backup solutions.
Yes.
Right? So, like, yes. you don't know exactly how it's all going to play out. But if right. you identify some people that, well, in this circumstance, this group of people may be interested in what I'm yes. selling, or, you know, at this time of the year, you know, I mean, there's just so many different ways variables. You can look at this. But I think knowing how to talk to each of these is going to be so important too, because you're going to speak to these in different ways, right? Yes. Because there's needs that one group has that another one doesn't. There's a way that you would deal with them. For instance, with someone, and these now obviously are generalizations, because you're going to yes. find, you know, this to not be the case for everyone, but maybe somebody who's in tech, you know, they're totally fine with signing the contract, DocuSign, yes. and like they're
but Jim, just, he may want to meet in person.
Right.
And yep. like, hey, let's meet out at the property and let's plop it on this paper on yep. top of the hood of the car or the truck, you know, yeah. the off-road four-wheel drive truck. And let's sign this, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
literally we've had that happen. Really? And I've done yeah. that. And it's crazy to think about, but there are those different markets. But when you identify them and you've narrowed your niche down to where it's not everybody, but it's just these 2 to 3, maybe 5 different types of people, then what you're going to hear is your actionable takeaway. Create a detailed profile of your ideal client in each of those 2 to 3, maybe 5 different buckets, right? Mm-hmm. And include demographics, the challenges, the goals, what they want, what they're looking for, who they're also doing business with.
Yeah.
Right. So like the tech guy, he may be going to Starbucks and working remotely, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas Jim, he may be visiting the local hunting supply store, right?
Yeah.
So then you start thinking, well, let's go follow their marketing. Let's go see what they're doing. And then how are they speaking there to their customer, right? And if it's the same customer, like, you know, I was thinking about earlier today or the last week of doing some co-marketing or something with like local power sports type company that's selling four-wheelers and side-by-sides, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That is one of our ideal customers. Like, if they are buying four-wheelers and side-by-sides, they want somewhere to go ride it, right?
Yes.
And so that's a segment of our customer group. And so how can we coordinate that? So anyway, so when you identify your ideal client, it starts giving birth to ideas on how to reach them. So figure out, again, understand your strengths and passions, know how you can serve people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then start identifying who will best benefit from that and write that down. But again, you may be passionate about it and there may be people who are interested, but you also have to evaluate the profitability yep. and just the level of demand, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be point number three. Is you have to evaluate
filter, right?
The third filter here when you're trying to identify your niche is, you know, is there a group of people? Is, well, let me put it this way. You need a sustainable market. A market is like a group of potential buyers or customers, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
A sustainable market. I said sustainable because it's not just one or two people and then they're done, right?
Or seasonal.
And there might be markets for that, but it's something that's going to be continuous. Even if yes. it is seasonal, it's
seasonal every year, right? Yes, it's not right. just this particular time. Yeah.
And so like a business that came up that only focused on like COVID, right?
Mm-hmm.
That I think of like the sanitary, not hydrostatic, but they had like these special things that came out and they had these machines and they would like,
We're
struggling to remember them, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm sure they've had to find other contexts, like maybe hotels or hospitals or airplanes, whatever. It was such a big deal then, but if their market evaporated, like if they didn't right. expand beyond just the COVID fear market, right? Then
that was just for that moment in time.
That was very seasonal
yeah.
in that it was that season of time, right?
Yep.
And so then I'm sure they had to work double time to try to like make up for, or like the mask making, you know,
right.
like people still make masks, but the market went from, you know, maybe 10 to like 1,000 back down to like maybe 5,
mm-hmm.
right? Or maybe 10 back, or maybe 15, you know, a little bit more now. But overall, you have to be able to plan for that. So you have to evaluate the profitability and the demand. So you need a sustainable market, that's part of it, that is willing to pay for your product or service. So obviously, if there's a lot of people that want it, but they're not willing to pay for it, that doesn't do you any good. And they have to be willing to pay at a price point that makes you a profit.
Yeah.
Someone said, you won't go broke making a profit. And there are companies that actually probably push the limits of that saying, but in general, if you're not making a profit, you're going to be out of business very soon. But if yeah. you are making a good, healthy profit, you know, and every industry is different, you know, 3-5% is very low for some markets, others, it may be the volume may be where that makes sense, but mm-hmm. a solid 10-20% or more for most businesses, if you can get a 10-15-20% profit or more at scale at volume, that's great. You get over 20-30% profit margin, you're golden. You mm-hmm. know, you get up 50-100% profit margin, man, you're doing awesome.
Yeah.
But usually those struggle to scale.
Few and far between.
Those are very few and far in between. So
yeah, I think this is the third filter too on your strengths and passions, right?
Mm.
Because we talked about something you're good at, and that you, something that you love, I should say, and that something you are good at, but you also want that thing that you love and are good at to be profitable.
Yes, right? It has to be.
It has to be. Otherwise, it's not. It's a hobby. It's not a business.
Exactly. Right? And there's a lot of hobbies out there.
Yeah, and those are fun, but they're not gonna provide for you, right? Sure. I mean, some can, but that's where you look and say, okay, is this thing that I love and that I'm good at also able to support me and my family? Right. And if it is, that's great. I mean, go for it. But you have to make sure that that's in view when you're deciding.
And when it comes to your niche, there is this in the world today, there is so much opportunity to narrow your focus.
Mm-hmm.
Right. With the advent of the internet and YouTube and even podcasting like this, we have a niche audience that we're speaking to,
right?
Christian entrepreneurs and business leaders who are developing their careers and their businesses and doing all that to advance the kingdom of God, right? So people trying to grow and be blessed, not just for themselves, but for the kingdom of God. Well, that's not everybody, but there's a niche there, right? Mm-hmm. And that's who we're speaking to. We're speaking to you. but I love this quote from Pat Flynn. It says, "The riches are in the niches." And this...
That was the quote.
This is the quote you were waiting for. This is why we have to call it the niche, mm-hmm. the niches. and the point of that is so powerful because there, if you can find that target market that you have identified that you're able to serve them really well and you've evaluated the profitability and that there is a demand for it, man, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there can be a lot of profitability when you speak, when you find a group of people that you speak to and you speak to really well, or your product or service identifies a need and solves it for them, then it works.
And people will pay for that, and they'll pay a premium for that.
They will. And the world can sustain that.
Mm-hmm.
In a modern society with lots of hyper-specialization and globalization with the internet, you can do that now.
Absolutely.
You can absolutely do that. And you can find them and they can find you, but you have to be intentional about it. But once you do, man, it unlocks a huge amount of profitability. Even our business with the real estate business, it's a very niche type business, mm-hmm. you know, with the owner financing and rural land development and stuff like that.
It's not like even building apartments, right?
No, where
like a majority of the people, or a good percentage, I should say, are going to probably live in one at some point, right? But not everybody's going to buy hunting land, or not everybody's going to buy
5 acres out in the country to live on, you know, or homestead or
so
whatever.
So you're already in a niche market
yes.
just based on what you do, but all of your messages are tailored
yes.
to that market.
And it's very profitable
yep.
because, and there's not a lot of competition in it. This is very important here is once you've done these things, you know, understood your strengths and passions, how you can serve people, you have identified who would best benefit from serving, which is identifying and defining your ideal client. And then you evaluate the profitability and demand. Next, you have to develop a unique value proposition, a UVP. This is basically what differentiates you. If you're in the niche, how are you going to speak to them? This is what you were talking about earlier. You have to deliver that value proposition.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I propose to deliver value to your life. And I like Seth Godin. He has this concept of the purple cow. And he was traveling on vacation, and everyone in his family were like oohing and aahing. I think they were in like Scotland or England or somewhere. And it's like beautiful grassy countrysides, and there's cows mm-hmm. and fences and just landscape, just beautiful. But after a while, it just became, there's another cow. But he said, well, what if there was a purple cow? If he would like, you know, he'd like pull over to the side of the road. He would stop. He'd take pictures. He would like post it on social media. He would make it, he would be worth making a remark about. It would be remarkable. And so you have to think about what makes you unique. What makes you stand out? Because your niche is looking for that standing out point, right?
Mm-hmm.
That purple cow, that thing that makes you different, that unique value proposition, right? Mm-hmm. And so once you've done that, then you can start building a business around that. And actually, you pointed this out earlier, Zig Ziglar, you were mentioning this, that Zig Ziglar has a good quote about this. Do you want to share that with the audience,
The Tony? Key to success is to find a need and fill it.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Well delivered. The key to success is to find a need. That's what we were talking about, finding mm-hmm. that niche, and then fill it.
Yeah.
And you have to and present the value to do that. And as you do that, you will see a positive cycle turn over and over and over again, where your audience, that niche, even though it's small in one sense, but your market share of that niche will probably grow
and
expand.
And many times you hear, you know, birds of a feather flock together.
Yes.
People find others that also have the same interests. And if you've tapped into a market and do it really well, that is going to spread on its own.
Mm-hmm.
The word of mouth, right? If I find a product that works for me and I really enjoy using it and it met mm-hmm. a need, I will like sell that product to people. Now, I don't get anything from it, but I'll be like, oh, this, I found this app. It works great. Or,
yes.
You know, whatever the case
we've
may
even
be.
Done that with like clothing brands,
right?
Or like
yeah.
travel products, yes. or whatever. Me and you have shared stuff,
yeah,
back
exactly.
Forth.
Because
bro, this is life changing,
yes, it met a need, right? Yes. And it's like, this is great. Well, that's not paid for, nobody, mm. you're not getting money for that. I'm not getting, but you just told someone because you know that yes. they also have that yes. same need or interest or whatever. So you're gonna get marketing done on your behalf for free if you adequately target. Mm-hmm. a niche market and you message to them well and you deliver
yes.
on what your promise is.
They if know you, what the unique yeah. value proposition is. They that you've built the authority and trust that you're mm-hmm. going to deliver it, and you give them the words, you give them a voice to talk about it, mm-hmm. it will spread.
Absolutely.
It will spread like crazy. You know, I want to kind of wrap up and end on this here, but there's a quote and it's unknown. I'm not sure who said this, but you were born with the ability to change somebody's life. Don't waste it. And I think of the story, and I'm probably going to butcher it, but there was a story of a little boy, and maybe his father or grandfather or someone, that was walking down the beach, and there was all these starfish that had washed up on the beach. You've probably heard this a million times. I don't know.
Trying to
He's like
remember
going
it.
Through the data search, mm-hmm. and his he has a great memory for quotes and stories like this. But he's like going through his filing cabinets, but he's walking along the beach, and there's all these starfish that have washed up, and he bends down and picks one up and throws it in the water. And they're walking along, bends down, picks another one up, throws it in the water, and the other person walking with is like, there's just thousands and thousands and thousands of these washed up. And he's like, well, you're not going to save them all. And the little boy says, no, but like, I can save this one. And he
yeah.
pitches another one in, and I can do it for this one, you know, mm-hmm. And it just goes, you know, one right after another. And the point of the story is that the childlike faith, so to speak.
Yeah.
Of like, knowing, okay, I can't be all things to all people. I can't save all these starfish.
Right.
But I can make a difference in the life of this one.
Yeah.
I can change this one. I can make this, I can serve this one. Right. And so when it comes to identifying your niche, then what you're doing is you're identifying those starfish that are looking for you. They're drying out on the beach of life. Maybe I'm stretching the analogy a little bit. But they are waiting for you. There is a target market. There's a career path. There's a business opportunity. It's just waiting for you
yeah.
to step into it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just blunder through life blindly, you know, trying to be all things to all people, you're going to miss it. And when really there's a mission and there's a focus, because God has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for you.
And it's specific.
And it's specific. And there is a niche and it has your name on it. And God wrote that before time began.
Yeah. It's true.
So with that,
it's all about our heads.
It's all about our heads, right? With that, we're going to wrap up for today. But thank you for tuning into this, and like, take this to heart and do something with it.
This concludes today's episode, and we trust you were able to walk away with something of value from the content that you heard. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Be sure to share this episode with a friend. Sharing is caring, after all. And check out the resources available on our website at theblessedbusiness.com. We have a lot of goodies out there for you, like the Income Accelerator course that teaches you the 5 keys to unlocking your earning potential, or the Launch course, which is a step-by-step guide to help you launch your own business. Thank you for your time and attention today, and until next time, be blessed.